Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's April 2nd, 2025. We are here to talk AEW Dynamite. We have Dynasty this weekend. Whole lot of stuff to talk about leading into that. Fightful's coverage of Dynasty is going to be robust this week. We've got a prediction show. We've got collision pre-show or the collision post-show ahead of Dynasty. I will be here for a Dynasty post-show. This gentleman, Alex, will be over on FightfulSelect.com for a Dynasty post-show. But it doesn't end there. I'm going to have a scoops thread. I had a ton of AEW news today that we will talk about on FightfulSelect.com. I believe Rob Wilkins has a preview show as well. I'm going to have bet online betting tips, including some lock bets. And I'll be hanging out in the Discord live chat over at FightfulSelect.com. Now, the best $5.99 a month in the business, which is absolutely because, listen, in a world of tariffs, we're taking money. We're giving you money back. We're giving you all kinds of money back. It's definitely not because Patreon had a horrible billing error for 3 months that cost us an extreme amount of money. It's because of tariffs. And we're here to give you that relief. That's what we're here to do. Nice. If anything spells relief, it is A-L-E-X. Alex, how you doing?
Good. Good. On Sunday, I did a full Bracketology Selection Sunday special for the Owen Hart tournament. Assuming that they would do the correct thing and make it a 16-man and a 16-woman tournament. Yeah. And so I have to not only throw my bracket out, but I have to burn the whole thing down to the ground. So that I was disappointed with that. The matches we're going to get are going to be amazing. And honestly, a bunch of them are matches that I thought we were going to get in a 16-person tournament. But I want more people in the tournaments. That is,
you are not Joe Lenardi.
Sign my petition for a 64-man Owen Hart tournament next year. Let's get it done.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. But we're going to have a lot of details on that today on FightfulSelect.com. Again, the best $5.99 in the business, in addition to the Discord access, in addition to all the exclusive news and podcasts. We had news on an act that was backstage today. And not only were they backstage, they were on the show as security. And then they also wrestled ROH. Violence is Forever. They seem to be in at least the good graces of AEW. That's Kevin Koo, Dom Guarini. A lot of people had buzz around them being there. It's good to see them on the show. But we also had some news on Mercedes Moné and Athena on FightfulSelect.com, because when we originally ran that report, we said, listen, this could be as soon as Dynasty. It was not going to be at Dynasty by the looks of it, but they are on a collision course, no pun intended, in the Owen Hart tournament. And Alex, that we'll go ahead and talk about the women's brackets right now. There's brilliant things about this, and there's things where I'm like, why they do that? I'll get to my criticisms. Why are they doing Jamie Hayter and Billy Starks 3 days after they did Jamie Hayter and Billy Starks?
That one doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I had full disclosure on my thing, what I wanted to do. And the only reason I didn't do Billy Starks versus Jamie Hayter, which would be a great match, and we already saw it, so we know it was. Or yes, Mercedes Moné to get under the skin of Athena, because we already saw that. That was also a great match. I thought we might be able to get her versus Statlander in the round of 16, when there would be 16. And then if Statlander were to beat her, she would meet Thunder Rosa in the Elite Eight, which she is technically doing, but the Elite Eight happens to be the first round. I don't know why we're doing Billy Starks versus Jamie Hayter again. You could do Billy Starks versus a number of different people. But I think the match was great the first time. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Jamie Hayter would, if we're going to do something with shenanigans where neither Athena or Mercedes will let the other one win the Owen because of their own personal proclivities, then Jamie Hayter would certainly be a fantastic pick to do it, particularly if Megan Bain ends up as the champion by All In, because Jamie Hayter versus Megan Bain, please and thank you.
So here's a look at the tournament bracket. Athena versus Harley Cameron, Mercedes Moné versus Julia Hart on one side, Thunder Rosa, Chris Statlander, and then Jamie Hayter, Billy Starks on the other side. So also a reminder, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats if you want questions or statements right on the air. There's just a lot to talk about on this show, so I jumped right into it. Leave a thumbs up on this video. I cannot begin to tell you how important that is. And also, I would like to note, Grapsody has an interview with Speedball Mike Bailey that drops on Thursday. And Grapsody will not be on Saturday this week. Instead, it'll be on Monday afternoon, a special edition talking about Dynasty. So we're going to have like three Dynasty reviews. I'm so excited for that. But I think Jamie Hayter's going to win. I see Thunder Rosa winning, especially considering she has said, I'm coming for that title.
Right.
But Thunder Rosa and Jamie Hayter is probably one of the toughest ones to call for me. I think Mercedes and Athena clearly win. And I think Mercedes ends up winning. Now, I'll tell you what I really like about this. It's a way to do Mercedes and Athena without having either one of them drop their title.
Yes.
Which I think is very smart. And I think this leads into Mercedes winning the Owen. She's doing a belt collector gimmick right now.
Right.
So I think she picks up another belt and gets an opportunity at the world title down the line. And I think that could end up being like a major, major match. I have Tony winning at Dynasty. I think she's going to emerge victorious.
Yeah, that would be a huge mistake, in my opinion. A huge mistake.
Why is that?
Why are you building Megan Bain like this to have her just lose in her first title match? She should go through and destroy everybody, become the champion, and I know what you do with her then. I don't know what you do with her coming off of a loss to Toni Storm. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The amount of momentum they've given her to have it just fall flat against Toni Storm doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I know that also that Toni Storm would make magic out of losing to Megan Bain. She would do something. She would cut a promo that would make it into a really fun story. But I don't know what you do with Megan Bain after she comes up short against Toni Storm.
I honestly wouldn't mind, even if it's a short Megan Bain reign, and then if Toni Storm regains it later on.
Perhaps, yeah.
Because, like, Toni has had her very, very long. I think I can take this down now. Very long. I was actually looking at you on the bottom bar the whole time. But Josh says, with Mariah not in the Owen tournament, does that mean we've seen the last of her in AEW? I wanted to talk to you about this because FightfulSelect.com reported last week when you had off, Mariah May's contract is up this year.
Yeah.
Which it was surprising to me that there apparently is not an option year associated with this.
Yeah.
But what were your thoughts when you heard that?
I mean, I certainly hope we haven't seen the last of her. There's so much more to do. I mean, really, she had one incredible, complete arc, and there's other stuff to do. It would be very, very sad to like get that beautiful, wonderful story. But if that is the entire all encapsulating run of Mariah May in AEW, and then she just is Splitsville. That is what an amazing way to enter and then exit the territory. She comes in with a fully fleshed out storyline for her as Tony's understudy to all the way through to the turn on Tony, to winning the title from Tony, to her title reign, to losing the title back to Tony, to going insane to try and get it back, the Hollywood ending. And then everything is wrapped up in a nice, neat little package. That's honestly, I would prefer that than somebody just like getting released while they're in the middle of a story. You know what I mean? Like this is, I guess, good for the storytelling aspect of it, but I really wanted to see what else we have with Mariah May. I hope she's not leaving. I hope they certainly throw a truckload of money on her lawn.
Me too. And, you know, for a lot of people that think that I just hear things and just blurt it out as reporting, like, it seemed like a lot of the elements of the story of which were relayed to me that I had to flesh out before reporting it seemed like it was angling for negotiation and leverage.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm cognizant of as well. Chi-Town Spurs says, if Tony wins on Dynasty, I see Jamie winning the Owen. They have unfinished business and I could see Jamie winning before Forbidden Door in London. I think one of two things happens. Actually, no, if Athena won the tournament and got a title shot in Texas, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
I could also see them doing the biggest possible match imaginable, which would be Mercedes Moné competing for the world championship to kind of combine their stuff. But get those super chats, get those humper chats in, my friends. Later on, we see that Mercedes and Harley will be facing Julia Hart and Athena this weekend. And I love it because it gives us the opportunity to see the puppet.
Yeah.
And we get them playing off of this magic that they made together again. Mm-hmm. Love seeing that. We got Moné versus Hart at Dynasty. Good way to get her on the show as well. I think putting some of these tournament matches on Dynasty makes an awful lot of sense.
Yeah, there are seven total matches in the tournament when you only have eight people in the tournament, and the end of the tournament is almost 2 months from now. That is a lot of extra time you could use to do, I don't know, a 16 person tournament. So that's just my thing, is that when you have that few matches, there's no reason to start it this early, because there's going to be a lot of time in there in between rounds where the people who are involved aren't doing anything. Just by necessity. Like, for example, if you were going to do Athena versus Mercedes in the second round of the tournament, then you absolutely could do that at April 16th at Spring Breakout, Spring Breakthrough, whatever they're calling that, in Boston. Mercedes is going to have a big match there. So you absolutely have enough time to get through everything and do Athena versus Mercedes there. But if you do that, then we know for a fact Mercedes is in the final of the Owen Hart tournament on April 16th, and the final isn't until May 25th. That's a really long time to wait between the final four and the finals game.
I feel like the number of matches they're doing between now and then, between two tournaments, is enough to fill out those shows. But I don't disagree that this could be a 16-person tournament. I do think you dilute it quite a bit if you're doing that.
Well, you should go and watch my selection show where I showed that they absolutely do not. There are people I had to leave off who are really great. There's, you know, 16, there's 16 people that were really, really great in each tournament. I promise you.
That's a good point. And I appreciate you, Vanna Whiting, the invisible show there as well. Tom says, SRS, well, tell Will to tell TK to sell the puppet. I hear from TK more than I hear from Will these days, because listen, I know a lot of people would assume that he gives me news, but he is contractually prohibited from doing so. I it has been communicated to him. It certainly has. But unfortunately, something that was communicated to the world was that Jay White is out of the tournament, and they said it was due to an attack from the Death Riders. And unfortunately, that is a storyline reason. He is legitimately injured. FightfulSelect.com reported he requires surgery. It happened. It's looking not great. And man, it's unfortunate. Bullet Club Gold specifically, kind of snake bitten, man. Like,
man,
they so, are. Like, it happened
during the match with Kevin Knight.
It looks like it. I don't want to say that definitively, but man, like, you know, one of my dream matches is Undisputed versus the Elite, and
sure,
they couldn't stay healthy at the same time. Now that everybody on Undisputed is healthy, Young Bucks have been gone for 6 months. We're looking at Bullet Club Gold, and it's like, okay, well, Switchblade missed a bunch of time. And then when he came back, Juice was hurt. And now whenever Juice comes back, it looks like Switchblade will be hurt. It's unfortunate, man. It's really unfortunate. I hate that.
That is really, really unfortunate for Jay White and for AEW fans, because I thought there was something really cool that could have been brewing out of a loss somewhere in this tournament. Like, it could have pissed him off and sent him down a new direction. Yeah. But that really sucks for Jay White. Wishes for a speedy recovery, because that dude is incredibly talented and has been really close to the big title a few times, but I thought booked out of it unnecessarily. And I would love to see him come back at full strength and get a really great push, maybe become world champion once he gets back.
Well, we did get the Owen Hart tournament brackets, including Kevin Knight, who we'll talk about momentarily, but it's Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight. Brody King, who got highlighted tonight, against Takeshita.
Yep.
Mark Briscoe against Kyle Fletcher. Seems like a Fletcher win there. A Takeshita win up top. A Will Ospreay win otherwise. Then we got Hangman versus a wild card. Now, I believe that wild card will either be Darby Allin or probably Josh Alexander. I don't think it's going to be Darby Allin. Don't think. And
isn't he on a mountain somewhere, or getting ready to get on a mountain, or coming down from a mountain? Or
they had hoped that he would be back for this. And I don't know that he is. I don't know. Now we are going to have more on FightfulSelect.com about that. A scoops thread on Sunday, creative plans that have changed as a result of Jay White, all that on FightfulSelect.com. So please go subscribe and support the wrestling website that a lot of people borrow from these days. But I feel like Hangman and Ospreay seem to be the safe bet. And also, yeah, that is one hell of a Double or Nothing match.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, that is exactly the final that I predicted in my little thing that I did on Sunday. I wanted that. Honestly, like, one of the matches I had Hangman wrestling to get there was beating Kyle Fletcher, and another one was beating Takeshita. Like, I had Hangman running a murderer's row to get there. And honestly, the guy I had penciled in is the dude I wanted to see Will Ospreay face in the first round of the tournament was Kevin Knight. So, like, this is giving me a lot of really fun stuff here. And who's going to say no to Ospreay versus Takeshita again? That's going to be amazing. It would be very surprising to me to bring in a guy like Josh Alexander as the wild card, to have him lose in the first round to Hangman. But I also don't think Hangman should not make the finals. Like, the idea of Hangman versus Will in the finals it's ready-made. It needs to be done, especially because either one of them has a really great reason to want to beat either Swerve or Moxley, if those guys are holding the title by All In. So it's a perfect way to get to, no matter who wins at Dynasty, Swerve or Moxley, if you get to Hangman versus Will Ospreay at Double or Nothing, you really can't pick one as, well, storylines dictate this guy's got to do it, because you might say that if Swerve is champion, that Hangman has to win. But also, it would be very much Hangman's story if he got that close to getting to face Swerve at All In, but he lost to Will Ospreay, and he's got to reckon with that himself about how he can't still be that guy. There's a lot of really great storylines there. So please do Will Ospreay versus Hangman, please.
Bunch of great stories headed towards AEW Dynasty, and one of them could be you leaving with a bunch of money with a Bet Online. Our wonderful partners at Bet Online have a few lines up for AEW Dynasty right now. John Moxley favored over Swerve. That's a toss-up to me, and that is the closest line. Adam Cole favored to win the TNT title over Daniel Garcia. This is a story I think the TNT title should have had from the jump. I don't disagree with that line. Tony Storm, a massive favorite over Megan Bain, and I'm leaning that direction as well. The Death Riders, massive favorites over Rated FTR, and I have some news coming in the Scoops thread about that as well. But BetOnline isn't just giving you wrestling news, although that may be the biggest surprise is that BetOnline allows you to do that. BetOnline AG has all sports. They have additional games. They have all kinds of stuff. March Madness, they got you covered. But you can deposit with crypto. They got VIP rewards. You can bet big with their high limits and rebet functionality. And they have the fastest payouts with payouts in minutes. You can compare their competitors right there on BetOnline. They are trusted by millions. They have been around for ages. And they have the highest credit card acceptance industry-wide. Check it out. BetOnline AG. Please only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. We are going to have some great tips for you guys on Fightful Select, which Zach Schimmel puts over. He says, any reason the Bucks aren't on TV or Jack Perry, subscribe to Select. There's a lot of neat stuff behind the paywall. I mean, in addition, we got a ton of retro reviews and like a lot. Alex has a lot of evergreen content over there, quite frankly. The Bucks asked for time off a while back, and there were a lot of people that thought that they'd be back by now. When they've been backstage, they've kind of hit the bricks pretty early, like well before the show. Jack Perry, I know that originally there was a Kenny feud discussed for him, but it didn't end up happening. So I'm not sure as to why he's been off TV. Guys, we are going to save the Swerve stuff as the quote-unquote main event for this show. Well, we had Tony Storm defeating Penelope. Tony bites Penelope's tongue throughout this. I just want to shout out Penelope because she has been a great crony for Megan Bain and like has been like she's played that role and embraced it really well. And also her cut-in during the Tony Storm spot this past week on Collision was so good. She just slid right in and did that spot. Penelope Ford, even though she's been around since the beginning of AEW, to a different degree, is doing a lot like what Harley Cameron did and making the most out of every opportunity. Any thoughts on Tony defeating Harley Cameron here?
Penelope Ford. But yes.
Penelope Ford. My apologies.
I think Penelope Ford has done a very good job of like being Megan Bain's second in this. It has never been explained to me exactly why they are friends, other than you are a heel and I am a heel, and so we will do heelish things together. Because one woman appears to be a Greek goddess and the other one wears, you know, is a rock star. So they're different, but they're friends. That's fine. I think she's been doing a very good job in this role. I think that this was a fun little match with Tony Storm. I honestly, it blows my mind, honestly, that Tony Storm is a huge favorite. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why you would be doing what you have been doing with Megan Bain since she showed up, only to have her get all the way to the title match and then fizzle out. Perhaps it's some kind of stupid thing where she gets herself DQ'd or whatever, and Tony Storm wins that way, and you prolong the feud until Double or Nothing. But I would say just strap her up. I mean, look at her. Look at the way people react to her. Look at there's a way you are on the precipice of making an absolute brand new megastar in the Megasys. Just do it. Pull the trigger.
Amir says, do you think Penelope and Megan Bain are together as a rib on Joey Janela? No, they're professionals, and nothing about that seems to be a rib on Joey Janela. It seems like Joey Janela is very much winning in his current relationship status, his past relationship status. and every relationship I've ever known him to be in, quite frankly. Good for him is all that I can say. We should probably note as well, Soraya last week, in addition to making great life decisions in dumping her boyfriend, is leaving AEW. Now, her management clarified to me that they say that she's a free agent. She is still listed on the roster page, I believe. And this seems to be something that came together kind of later, because I know that she had signed the deal and was going to be there for a year. But she also seemed very realistic about her place in wrestling right now and understands that right now there's not a spot necessarily that she seems to fit perfectly in. And I'm sure, listen, her life was wrestling for a long time. Then she had to get used to her life not being wrestling ever again. Yeah. Then she got it back. She got an incredible pop and all that, and then won the title in her home country, and then it tapered off. I personally would have loved a really quick return and like a write-off feud where she came back and just acted like Harley was still her crony. And then Harley's like, oh, yeah, hey, and did it for like a week or two and then kind of wrote her off and sent her into the sunset. But,
there's no better way for her to exit than to put over Harley Cameron.
Yeah.
Who, like, honestly, they seem to work so well together. I would hope that they're
good love friends. Each other. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, like, it would be a really cool way of, like, you know, her coming back and be like, basically, all right, Harley, let's go. And like,
yeah,
well, you know, no, I'm doing my own thing now. And like, how dare you? You're mine. I made you. And Harley fighting back from that. It would be a really cool babyface thing for Harley to do. It would be an important victory for her to get over on Paige. On Soraya. And that would be a wonderful way for her to exit the company is to do that.
I would have loved it if she came back. She's like, yeah, Harley, let's go. She's like, where's Ruby anyway? And Harley's like, she had a child. She's like, I never heard about that. Like,
yeah,
one of those, you know, in a way to kind of like show you how detached Soraya is. But I just want to say this from a person who covers this type of thing. Soraya and her management team were all over that book promotion, from doing podcasts to announcing her departure to leaking to Entertainment Weekly that she would be revealing on her podcast that she was leaving AEW. It was a very, very smart rollout and strategy. And again, some of the life choices she's made in recent months were also wonderful decisions as well. Mm-hmm. But C. Delgado says they probably don't want Megan Bain with the title during the collective around WWE ID talent. Just guessing. That doesn't matter. Well, that wouldn't affect them anyway. Megan Bain's a professional. Like, that wouldn't matter whatsoever to them. Whatsoever. Matthew Hook says AEW feels creatively in a good place. How can they translate that over to ROH? Is Josh Alexander the wild card? I think Josh Alexander is the wild card. I think the best way to translate it to ROH is with a blowtorch or a flamethrower or something else. Listen, ROH TV, while I enjoy so much of the talent on it, was so inconsequential that Kate, who is open to doing anything, everything, reviewing anything to make this site better, is like, I can't find anything worth talking about. Like, that speaks volumes to me.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Jericho last week challenge Bandido to a title versus mask match? And when they were for Dynasty, and when they were running down the card, I did not see them mention that match.
I agree. Yeah, I didn't hear that either. And so, like, which
is the match off, or does it matter so little that they're not bringing it up?
Here's my nightmare. They heard me say that it would draw better in Texas, and they stretch it out 3 months.
Oh no!
But I just want to say this: Bandido against anyone in a mask match in Texas would do good. Because I've mentioned this in the past, they do this very smart thing, especially in in areas where the demographic skews that way, they put up posters that just say Lucha Libre. And it doesn't say necessarily AEW Dynamite. It says, hey, come watch some Lucha Libre. It's La Catalina versus Lady Frost and stuff like that. Anybody against Bandido, like really give me an emotional story with Bandido where he is willing to put everything on the line, including his mask, for a crack at somebody. Right. I would love that. Brody King defeated Lance Archer. This is a meat match. This is something that AEW kind of missed out on in 2024. And I'm glad that they did it and gave him a little bit of time. I know there were some people that were like, well, this is kind of heatless, but it wasn't meatless. They needed the meat. They got the meat. Meat Norma says the Owen will be fun, but where is Meat Madness? One day they will do that again and it will be great. And I think it will be something that the fans really like. But what I loved most about this match, Alex, is if you took a screenshot of like 3 seconds after the three count, you would have no idea who won because both men were flat on their backs.
Yeah.
Exhausted, dead from beating the dog shit out of each other.
Yep.
That's what I loved about this match.
It was great. It was really, really good. Good to get Brody King a victory before losing in the first round to Takeshita. But this did to me, the whole thing was reeked of Peoria is under a tornado watch. A lot of guys couldn't get in. This felt like it came out of the blue. It was a lot of fun, but this felt like something I would see on Rampage. This did not feel like a go home Dynamite type of thing because there was nothing in it that required. This is not part of any kind of story. As far as I know, the Hounds of Hell are not feuding with the Murder Machines. So it just didn't feel like it was part of anything, but that doesn't mean the match was bad. The match was excellent. These two guys beat the crap out of each other. It was a lot of fun.
I like a good meat match on occasion. I really do. Really do. We had the Hurt Syndicate come out. Shelton Benjamin had some legitimate travel issues and MJF. What I like about this is MJF at least does have the confidence where he's not physically afraid of Bobby Lashley. Like, he's going at Bobby Lashley. He's selling himself to Bobby Lashley by also talking trash to Bobby Lashley.
Yes.
I'll give you a good example. Jimmy Van, very successful outside of Fightful.
Mm.
He just wants to be treated like a normal guy. Wants to be treated like a normal guy despite what he has accrued after that. And I remember people that worked with him said, I don't like how you talk to Jimmy. But Jimmy's wife said to me, never stop talking to Jimmy like that. Mm. I think that's what MVP would say to MJF about Bobby Lashley.
Right.
MVP would go to MVP or MJF and say, never stop talking to him like that. He likes that. That will get his respect. That will show him that while everybody else is afraid of Bobby Lashley, we want people who aren't afraid of Bobby Lashley. Shelton wasn't afraid of Bobby Lashley. We want those types of people as a part of our team. So I think that's like a little underrated element of what we're seeing here. But how'd you feel about this before Learning Tree got involved?
It's right now. It's I'm intrigued by it because I really don't know where this is going. I can't see MJF with the Hurt Syndicate for a long period of time. This feels like if they actually get together, it falls apart pretty quickly. I mean, pretty quickly in wrestling parlance could be like 3 months.
Sure.
But if it falls apart quickly, or that is one of those things of MJF keeps coming back, and at some point, he needs backup versus somebody who's got backup of their own, and he comes to them. Okay, I'm gonna need a yes or no answer because I have some people I need to deal with, and these guys could be of help. So, am I in or am I out? And MVP says, "I'm sorry, we put it to a vote. It's 2-1. I voted you in, but these guys voted you out." And that's how we run things in the Hurt Syndicate. My vote is equal to theirs. They got two. I got one. I'm sorry, man. You're not in the club. Which then makes MJF go out and get his own guys as a personal vendetta against Hurt Syndicate and MVP for turning his back on him. Maybe that's something.
MJF, Hammerstone, and Holiday against Hurt Syndicate is something I would very much enjoy.
It would be really nice.
Learning Tree come out, and they're making their case. They beat a couple of jabronis down. I'll tell you what I liked that AEW did.
Yeah.
They had Top Flight on the Minnesota Dynamite, mm-hmm. where they would get a superstar reaction.
Yeah.
They won a match. They were like, well, let's have Learning Tree face them because Learning Tree are jockeying for position, Top Flight are jockeying mm-hmm. for position, and Learning Tree then won. And then they came back and they won tonight.
Right.
So you have people not just coming out and saying, I should get a title shot. No.
Sure.
They're winning matches.
That's yeah. I did think it was Top Flight for certain is somebody that it is impressive that you beat. But yes. These guys tonight, this is like saying I deserve a shot at Mike Tyson because I beat up a fourth grader. No, I'm sorry, that's not the same thing at all. Bobby Lashley knows that. Bobby Lashley was like, "That's cute that you beat up those guys." Sure, that's not going to work against us.
Excuse me. But it's CJ Esparza. He has wrestled a number of matches in AEW. He stands 5'6".
Yes.
And he is also known as Stanislaw the Squeezer, I'm told.
Yeah, yes.
And that is Gage Noonan. Uh-huh. Put some respect on Gage Noonan's name.
I will put respect on Gage Noonan's name.
Put some respect on his name.
Right.
I feel like you should. I don't think he's wrestled in AEW before.
Right.
But there you go. Fine. I like a good squash match.
And I honestly love Big Bill on the mic with all this fire.
Yeah.
This is if they are indeed still doing the Jericho versus Bandito title versus mask match, that's still indeed happening.
I
thought this might go is that Learning Tree guys, Brian Keith, Big Bill come up short against the Hurt Syndicate, and then Jericho backstage lays into him, reads him the riot act. You guys are worthless, whatever. Now come on down to the ring and help me beat Bandito. And they just walk out on him because they're tired of his crap. And he has to go out there by himself, which is why he loses to Bandito, because he doesn't have his backup anymore, which is the breakup of the Learning Tree. Please and thank you should have happened 6 months ago.
So, man.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The ops are just chilling and, like, I think stalking people is what they're doing, which I can admire and appreciate. But this was Samoa Joe explaining why he formed the ops. Mm-hmm. And he said, wrestling is evolving. I evolve, combat evolves, and we got our eye on people.
Right.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I love him just being the guy who talks, and the other guys stand there being menacing. It's good. The ops is the team that should beat the Death Riders for those trios titles. That's the right team to do it. It's not gonna be rated FTR. They've already imploded, so that's definitely not happening. But as soon as at Double or Nothing, the ops should beat the Death Riders for those trios titles, if not sooner than that.
Yes.
But you're talking about how there's not like 16 people would make it, you know, too stretched out of a tournament. One of the guys I had in the tournament was Samoa Joe because he's a former world champion. And the first round match was Ricochet versus Samoa Joe, which we're not getting because it's an 8-man tournament. But if there was a 16-man tournament, we could be getting Ricochet versus Samoa Joe. I'm just saying you can fill out a 16-man bracket with people who aren't in the bracket now. I'm just saying it's possible.
Man, this is a Dynamite without Ricochet, without Speedball, without Omega. A lot of people weren't on this show. Dave Koss says, Sean, you nailed Will opening the Owen at Dynasty to me weeks ago. Is Hanger wild card on the show too? Really hope so. Give me your top four matches for Dynasty. I'll be on the fourth row floor. Swerve mocks, because anything Swerve's involved with. The triple threat match by far is probably number one to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what all's going to be on there right now.
I think Ospreay Kevin Knight is going to tear the house.
Yes.
Down.
Which we might as well talk about. Let's go ahead and get into that. They teamed up and faced Vanilla Baby, Blake Christian, and I almost called him Lee J. Lee Johnson. But first off, love Blake Christian again getting some love here. He has been one of the most improved talent over the last 18 months. Kevin Knight didn't win this past weekend, but was revealed as signing with the company. And again, I'll go ahead and throw these two in there. Tony Storm and Megan Bain is another one I'm very excited for.
Yeah.
That's what we got so far. And out of what's announced, Rated FTR versus Death Riders, because I think something momentous happens there, believe it or not. But this match, first off, Ospreay and Kevin Knight win, but I want to talk about the story around Kevin Knight. FightfulSelect.com, which you all should subscribe to, have been all over Kevin Knight's contract status. And it's one that I had encouraged people on previous shows to please keep a look at for a number of reasons. His deal was going to be up in January, and then they found out, oh no, it's up this week, Wrestle Kingdom week. He worked that show without a contract to drop the titles. And he ain't wrestled there since. And that's pretty rare for him. Keep in mind, he's wrestling ROH tapings and meeting with Tony and Rocky Romero afterwards. He had been wrestling MLW tapings, which they're not going to sign anybody to a full long-term deal. He had wrestled TNA last year a bunch of times. They liked him there. He had worked top indies of late as well. Like, this guy was getting around, but it was made abundantly clear to me that, one, he wanted to work for an American wrestling company. Like, that was made pretty clear to me, and that he wanted to get in contact with WWE to at least, you know, see what was possible. Also worked at GCW, Deadlock, and Maple Leaf Pro. A few indies where if you're going to run those indies, you want to work those indies. So word comes out via PW Insider that he was given an invited tryout. Now, I have not confirmed that as of yet, and I don't know what they mean by that terminology. Because a lot of times what will happen is if you are a prominent indie wrestler, they might give you a special invited tryout. I don't think WWE made an offer in the end, because I don't think they got to. I think AEW signed him very early. And one person that I talked to at the Performance Center said, I don't know what they needed to see from him.
I don't know. Why does he need the tryout?
That's exactly what somebody said. They were like, why does he need a tryout? They're like, pop a tape of him working New Japan or MLW or TNA or ROH or AEW. Yeah. And they're like, everybody was watching the Maple Leaf Pro shows.
Yeah.
They're like, call the guy said, I'm pretty sure we still got Kushida's number. He could give him a reference. Like, it was like one of those, what's going on? And I'll say this. I'm not saying that a change like NXT 2.0 is on the horizon, because I don't believe that at all. But the last time that this specific person reacted like this to me about somebody I acted about or asked about was when WWE didn't sign Wheeler Yuta. When he went there and had a tryout and they didn't pick him up. Now, it happened a little bit also around when Kylie Rae, Casey Navarro, and the Righteous didn't get signed, but that was a Vince thing. That's because they got their special tryout, and then Vince was, you know, Leroy Jenkins his way back into the company and all that. But like, the last time was that, because they're like, well, he would have fit really well in NXT. Kevin Knight would have been, he would have been killer in NXT.
Right.
And a lot of people felt that way about Wheeler Yuta as well. They were like, man, he would have done really well. He could have developed. He already knew how to wrestle. He's a good looking dude, keeps himself in shape, has great trainers. So that was kind of interesting. The story around the story of Kevin Knight
Yeah.
Who looks like a million bucks.
He looks like a million bucks. And I think he made the right choice just based on the push. Because his first match is Jay White, and Jay White puts him over immediately. They announce he signed right after he had that really great match. Then he gets to team with Will Ospreay, and he gets the pin. And then his second singles match in the company is a pay-per-view match against Will Ospreay. I feel like they are telling him, you made the right choice by signing here, which is a nice thing to do.
His first three matches in the company will have been with or against pay-per-view main eventers in AEW.
Yes.
And, I mean, listen, this one was certainly by chance, an unfortunate chance because of Jay White. But still, I look at it and I'm like, I think he made the right decision. More than him making the right decision, I feel like WWE should have really made, I don't know what type of play they made for him, so to speak.
Yeah.
But he's one that I looked at and I said, oh my God, he would fit really, really well there. And listen, he's also one of the guys, when I found out he was a free agent, he was atop my list of people who should be signed, besides Maggie Lee, who got signed last week by TNA. Mm-hmm. But my God, guys, I need to tell you guys who to sign with. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Whole bunch of people were like, man, how are you watching SmackDown at 3 p.m. on a Friday? Well, I got NordVPN.com/Fightful, changed my virtual location with just one click. And Netflix is remarkably chill about VPNs. They just want your monthly subscription. That's it. I have, now that Kentucky is out of the NCAA tournament, I have canceled my YouTube TV for until the fall. I just use NordVPN.com/Fightful now and save big. Right now, you get a big discount and 4 extra months with NordVPN.com/Fightful, and you got a 30-day money-back guarantee. The price you're going to end up paying for, I guess it would be 28 months, is less than what you're going to pay for 1 month of YouTube TV. And if you want to purchase that AEW pay-per-view this weekend, you can change your virtual location and get the prices they're paying overseas, which are much more affordable. Like I said, 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you say, man, I don't know if it will work for, I don't know if it'll work on my device or my operating system, works on all of them. Works on your router, your TV, your computer, your phone, your desktop. I've got it on 4 or 5 different devices up here. Desktop, phone, router, smart TV, Surface Pro. All of them have NordVPN.com/Fightful. And they add so many extra layers of security to your digital life. If you want a password manager, a file encryption tool, they got that stuff too. It's the fastest VPN in the world. And if you're like, well, you know what? Even beyond all that, don't know if I can get it to work. 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I always say, I didn't know, as the TV deals evolved, how, would Nord want to stay with us? And they're like, oh boy, it's more useful than ever, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And we're very, very fortunate. I mean, if you get NordVPN.com/Fightful and you're a WWE fan, it's all you need. You ain't got to go get Peacock and listen, sorry, WWE. I know they're not happy with me saying that, but you can watch it all by changing your virtual location. Ah, man. I think we have reached the two main event segments, but Vicky, we'll get to Vicky momentarily. Dave Koss says, huge Mercedes fan, feels she's been on fire the last few months in all aspects. Are you surprised they're not setting up Mercedes Athena for Double or Nothing? Sort of. Yeah. I thought that the finals would be Mercedes and Athena. Well, honestly, I thought that they would do it very quickly, an opening round, because I heard they were considering doing it at Dynasty.
Right.
I released that story today that clearly they're not, but second round, it's going to be them. I am surprised seeing why wouldn't you just have them meet? But I will also reserve judgment on, is this a good call, bad call until then? But I also think that it's okay to put these big matches as semifinal matches too. Alex, I am was a big MMA fan, and they would always put these tournaments together expecting the two juggernauts to reach each other, and it never happened. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
This is one of those deals where, you know, you do a thing where, hey, there are four number one seeds in the tournament, and the, you know, the West and the Midwest just happen to have the two, you know, every so often in the tournament, you'd be like, this is really the final, because look at the other side of the bracket. They're not going to measure up. And that kind of happens, in tournaments every now and then. And maybe that's the case. But I'll say this, like, I know, cause I remember watching, I don't remember exactly where it took place, but I remember there was an Athena Thunder Rosa match that was like 28 minutes and was amazing a few years ago. So in some indie somewhere. So I wouldn't mind seeing them run that back in the final. I know Mercedes, and Statlander, I'm not saying that Statlander's even going to get to the final, but like Statlander and Mercedes 3, I would not mind as being something that happened at All In. I mean, sorry, at Double or Nothing. Like, there's all kinds of great women in this tournament. Jamie Hayter versus Athena, Jamie Hayter versus Mercedes, all these things could be fantastic. I'm really, really excited about that. I think that the reason you put it in the second round is to get that person who loses seething and trying to figure out a way to do another match down the line because of the injustice that may have been done to them in their loss in the second round of this tournament.
The night kicked off with Willow and Swerve defeating the Death Riders, John Moxley and Marina Shafir. We had a couple table spots. And then at the end of the match, Swerve accidentally kicked Marina.
Marina sacrificed herself.
Sacrificed herself. But I mean, he didn't intend to kick her.
No, he didn't. He didn't. Right. He didn't intend to. She intended it for her, for it to happen. One of my favorite spots in this match, one of my favorite spots I think I might have seen ever, is Moxley threatening to do the his finishing move to Willow, and in retaliation, Swerve picking up Marina to do it, and she is screaming at Mox, do it, I can take it. Like, if he does it to me, it's worth it for you to do it to her, so that he, I don't care if he does it to me. Marina was an absolute badass in this thing. It honestly makes me a little upset that she took the pin, but I understand why they did it overall. I wanted Marina in the Owen. I wanted Marina to go on a run in the Owen. I wanted Marina versus Willow one-on-one in the Owen. I want to see Marina wrestle more. I think she has been doing such a fantastic job as the security, as the bodyguard of Mox. I want to see her wrestle some more. So I liked what I saw out of her in this. I thought that doing an intergender mixed tag tornado tag is something that I hadn't seen before. I thought all four of these people pulled it off really well. I really liked a lot of that. I loved her sacrificing herself to get John out of the way of the house call. The house call into the Dr. Bomb is certainly a reason to get pinned in that match.
Yes.
But it was very funny to me that you would do a tornado tag, mixed tag match, and then be like, oh, John Moxley, how dare you do a thing to this?
Because it just, well, I mean,
that was the thing that could have easily happened during the match at any point.
Sure, but I mean, it's always heavily implied to not do that.
I get it. I get it.
I think Marina's role is the one best suited for her. I just, again, I don't know what kind of training, you know, she consistently does or anything like that, but she doesn't work a ton of matches and it shows in the ring. But I think that she is a phenomenal presence, obviously. Yeah. You just have to maximize that. I know that she did like a dark match last week, probably in preparation for this. But other than that, she's had like two matches this year. Mm-hmm. And very few matches since this angle started. And I'm like, man, she needs to get reps. She needs to get reps.
That's because wrestling matches to get the reps.
Yeah. Which now also the spot is kind of blown. I don't want to say blown as in it's a bad thing. Like Willow beating Marina and neutralizing her was sort of a big deal. I do think that you got some of that heat back though, because you immediately neutralized the person who supposedly neutralized.
Right.
Marina, and then Marina was involved in the subsequent beatdown. So it's like, you're going to have to do more than that to put her away. But I do think, like, hey, listen, I'm not going to say she's China, but China's strong suit was not wrestling matches.
No.
China was not a wrestler that a lot of people looked at and go, oh my God, that was a classic. Like, I'm having trouble thinking like what her best singles match was. Probably Jericho, or maybe, yeah, probably Jericho. Mm-hmm. But like as a presence,
yeah,
that like that's what she's for remembered sure. as. And I think that that goes pretty well. Somebody says in Japan, they were not. No. In fact, I would argue that the worst match she ever had was in Japan. The Chono match. Maybe not. Because I remember. What did I watch recently? And it was China and Billy Gunn against Val Venus and Stevie Richards. Yeah. Isn't it, man? Considering recent events, it is very easy to forget how over Right to Censor was. That group was so over that it was insane. But I got to say, they had some points too. They had some points. Anyway, Swerve is backstage checking on Willow, and Vicky says, "Hey, SRS. And Alex, Mox hurting woman? No! Renee seemed ticked. Sad Willow and Marina aren't in the Owen in this Mox stuff. Mark and Kyle, no, thanks." Well, Kyle is going to win that match. Yeah. The Moxley thing is not going to end. They're going to blow it off and I think this show has got to end with Swerve winning the title, or else the show is going to end in an unsatisfactory manner.
Oh, yeah. No. If the rest of Dynasty is perfect and Swerve doesn't walk out as the champion, you are going to have some people, I know for a fact, in the fight in the Sour Graps Discord, I will have people who are going to say, I'm not watching AEW. And they'll go through with it. They will not be me who will be angry because of a booking decision and say, I'm going to stop watching, and then they'll watch anyway. They are going to not watch. Like, people are really done with the Death Riders thing. And you've set up a perfect person to be the one to take the title off of Jon Moxley. Someone we all root for. Someone who's just crazy and dangerous enough to do it. And you need to do it. It would be a huge thing for everybody. Swerve winning the title at the anniversary of the first Dynasty where he won it the last time. It's all perfect. It's all set out for you. Just do it. And for people to be like, well, no, TK had this idea that it had to go until All In when so-and-so is going to beat Moxley. And when TK gets an idea in his head, he just does it no matter what. He doesn't pivot when he has those big ideas. Sometimes it works. But in this case, I think it would be a big, big, big mistake.
I agree. And I actually think that had Tony and Mariah main evented Revolution, they would have more room to have Moxley win against Swerve in the main event of this show.
Yeah.
But doing that two straight times is tough. And we're about to talk more about this. Cope defeated Claudio. Let's get through that first. Fine match. It's okay. Cope's still doing spears to the outside. He is working his ass off. He's trying. He's trying. Doing everything he can.
God bless him. He's trying. I mean, the Remsburg being so adamant that Claudio not do to Cope what Cope did to Claudio. I was like, where were you when Cope was doing this to Claudio? Run in there and steal the chair from Cope. Anyway, Cope winning with a low blow and then the spear is par for the course with Cope over the past few months. It's whatever. But none of that matters because we got the thing we got after this.
Yes. And also it's worth noting there was an FTR segment.
Oh, and yes.
It was very funny, actually. He being Dax, struck a referee and was fined for it. And he said, well, Paul Turner, I asked you to be here. I want this money to go directly to you. And then he says, don't cash that till Friday.
He also says, take your wife out for a nice dinner with this $10,000.
Yes. And I love this because if I'm a ref, I'm just, I'm agging Dax Hahn.
Sure.
Run me my check.
Man, when he is pitting somebody, that count is going to be.
Run me my check, bald. Come on. What are you doing? Yeah, exactly. Have I ever recited to you the way that Tommaso Ciampa got written off of ROH TV?
No.
To me, it was the most brilliant write-off in one of wrestling's history.
No, I missed it.
Years ago, and I may be foggy on the details, he attacked a referee, and it was passed down by the authority figure, like, we're not going to stand for this. Like, not only are you going to be in trouble if you ever hit a referee again, if you even accidentally make contact with a referee, you're done. You're fired. You're going to lose your job. And I believe it ended up costing, I don't know if I said Claudio or Ciampa. It was Ciampa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ciampa.
Ended up costing Ciampa some matches. Like, he would hesitate running into the referee and all that stuff. He'd have to stop himself and get caught up. Well, his last match, everybody knew he was going to WWE. Everybody knew it. And he loses it, and he looks around, and he beats the absolute dog shit out of the referee. Like, just slings him into the barricade, knees him into the stairs. Wow. It was phenomenal. It was so good. One of my favorite ever. Any updates on Ibushi, Lee, and Dalton? No updates on Lee and Dalton. Ibushi's like just been around, but listen, man, if you saw Kota Ibushi, and I tried to warn people when he got signed, I was like, this is not the same Kota Ibushi.
Same guy anymore.
He's not the same guy. Yeah, and
because if he was the same guy, he'd be up there with everybody else they got in AEW.
The fact that he has been wrestling matches in Japan for the last 6-7 months, and they haven't even mentioned him on AEW TV, I think speaks volumes. Man, and Luis says, I believe the referee that Ciampa attacked before being fired was Paul Turner.
Probably was.
N. Simmons says, just like the Jey Uso segment on Monday night's ending segment to Dynamite with Swerve and Hangman, Mox has to lose. Sets up perfectly for Hangman helping Swerve win and setting up All In. Let's talk about it, N. Simmons. Swerve is looking for the Death Riders, and I can't even remember what Hangman said as he's approaching. I think it's like, if you're looking for them, you're looking for the wrong guy.
Yeah, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time because you're not going to let you win the title. So it doesn't matter.
And they go back and forth, and Hangman said, you broke into my house. Or Hangman said something like, I made a promise. You're not going to win that championship. He's like, you broke into my house. And he's like, you burned my house down, said Swerve.
You deserved it.
And then Swerve just goes, I know. And Hangman was still mad. It was very much like, I am not going to change my tone because that means that I might have lost this argument.
Yeah.
And he can't believe it, and he stormed off.
Oh, it's so good.
Whew. Listen,
you broke into my home.
Hours.
You burned my house down. You deserved it. I know. What? And it was almost as though Swerve was surprised he had said it himself, because having to repeat it didn't make any sense to him. But then he says it again to Hangman, looking at Hangman dead in the eyes. I know. And Hangman has nothing for it, and he has to leave. Like that I think that moment, Swerve acknowledging that Hangman might have been right to burn down Swerve's house, a thing that I know you can watch Hangman go through it about whether or not he could even be his, who am I? Am I the same man I've always been because of that? He was admitted to him that he was in the right by the guy he did the wrong to that broke Hangman. Like, he doesn't know who he is now. It's amazing.
And in the world, there are so many situations where people go and they get out of pocket and oddly personal and shit like that. And they don't realize that saying, my bad, I'm sorry, is a real possibility.
Yes.
And Swerve has been through an awful lot since then. And they've been through an awful lot. Crazy 101 says, do you think Hangman helped Swerve at Dynasty? Man, I'm getting chills thinking about them fighting off all the Death Riders, and then they back into each other, mm-hmm. and they turn around, and they look at each other. I mean, I think that's how DX got back together too, but still. I think that Swerve won't be wearing the girl's shirt, though. C. Delgado says, go home math favors Swerve with the Hangman assist. So I'm going to kind of lean into a few of these. Swerve has to win in my eyes. Need Mox to lose the belt, says Parker Hines. Whew. Do you think Hangman helps Swerve win?
I think if Swerve wins, it will be with Hangman's help. And unfortunately, I think if Swerve loses, it'll be because Hangman tried to help but ended up screwing everything up, because that is the Hangman arc. That now I'm trying to be a good guy again, and I screwed it up. But I would love it, man. It would be the best thing we could possibly do for Hangman. And also, it would clear the way for Hangman to lose to whoever the wild card is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like him, like this whole thing could be a difference maker if he's not going to try and beat Swerve, because now, like, you know, it doesn't matter as much anymore to take it from Swerve, because now somehow they're cool. You know, like I know I deserved it. Well, I'm sorry. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do there, man. There's a lot of really interesting stuff.
Tom LaValle says, Swerve just apologized to Hangman. He admitted to being wrong. He was over as a babyface and now has shown contrition. Give him the belt again. So he didn't do those things. He didn't apologize. He didn't say he was sorry, but he did what you would believe is as close to that as you could possibly get.
It's the precursor to. The next step is, you deserved it. I know. And the next step is for Hangman to say, I'm sorry anyway.
Yes.
Like, you know, like
accountability is a babyface move.
That's the next step. And Hangman falling to the depths of hell where he was, only to rebuild himself for a redemption arc. That's a major story in the story of the protagonist of AEW. And I did not have this as part of that story. I did not have Swerve copping to his responsibility in the over that story of them, him taking his part of the responsibility for what has happened between them. I didn't have that. I love that it happened here, because it adds so much layers to what's going on at Dynasty. It's amazing stuff.
And this leads to Swerve getting laid out and powerbombed onto glass, by the way.
Yes.
Which is a powerbomb onto glass is one of the overlooked elements of this this angle here. People are talking about a guy saying, my bad, as opposed to the glass spot.
No, nobody's talking about the glass.
Yeah. Brian more or less says, the interaction between Swerve and Hangman had me questioning if it'd be possible for Hangman to save Swerve from the Death Riders, best feud ever. Triple H and Shawn Michaels, Sammy and Kevin Owens, like these two people that are connected to each other, but can always find a story there. So the history, the more history there is, the more you play off of.
Like if there's a ref bump and we got Claudio's in the ring about to hit Swerve in the back of the head with a chair, and a wild Hangman appears for a buckshot lariat to lay out Claudio and give Swerve the opportunity to hit the Swerve stomp on Moxley. And when he goes up to the top rope, he looks down at Hangman, who just nods. Like, oh, come on. It's perfect. Give it to us. We all want it.
Exactly how the Young Bucks nodded to him.
Yeah, exactly. Oof. It's got to happen, man.
It's all
cyclical.
It's got to happen like that. I mean, and the apology that it might be coming, like when John Cena turns back babyface this year, it's going to be an apology. He's going to be like, I'm sorry. And people are going to be like, all right, for these last three matches, we got you. And people will love it. They'll eat it up. They'll be so happy.
Yeah.
Jordan Scott says, got to give Renee her flowers. Every interview she does when someone talks should be about talks about Mox. Okay, let me say that. Every interview she does when someone talks about looking to hurt Mox or what Mox did is great. Her expression during Swerve's interview after Willow was gold. I think that as far as backstage interviewers go, it's her and Mean Gene, and that's it. And no. And all due respect to everybody else. There's a lot of great ones. Kathy Kelly is wonderful. There's a lot of great ones. But at the top, it's Mean Gene and Renee Paquette.
Yeah, and all due respect to Mean Gene, he wasn't married to one of the people that was the subject of his interviews. Like, that's a really tough fine line to walk. There are so many times where people refer to Jon Moxley in an interview with Renee Paquette as your husband. I have to go find your husband because I'm going to beat the hell out of him. And she has to be there and be like, yeah, I know. Like, what do you say to that? You know what I mean? She's just got to be the professional one. And I think it's great stuff, man.
And Parker Hines says, am I wrong to say the women's Owen looks better? No, if you feel that way, you feel that way. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm more excited for the men's. But Alex, how are you feeling?
I think that, man, if what we're getting out of the final four of the men is Hangman versus Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay versus Takeshita, and what we're getting out of the women's is Athena versus Mercedes and Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter, how can you say no to those matches? Like, how can you say no to that final four? Like, they're fantastic. They have done a really, really, really good job of setting up an amazing final four. I feel like in a couple of opportunities, the Elite Eight is also going to be some great stuff. But as great as Takeshita versus Brody King is, we know for a fact that Takeshita's beating Brody King. You know what I mean? It's one of those deals where I there are enough great men that you could put eight in there that you would think have a decent chance at winning the whole deal, or at least their first round match. So maybe that's the next step before we get to 16.
Guys, I am back here on Sunday talking AEW Dynasty. Alex will be over on FightfulSelect.com, but I'll be over on FightfulSelect.com too. I'm going to be talking in the live chat, going to have a scoops thread. And as you know, guys, we've got tons of scoops nonstop. Even if you don't subscribe for $5.99 a month, we have a free tier as well. Yesterday, I dropped a big update. While everybody else is doing the April Fool's jokes, I was out there dropping some news on FightfulSelect.com. We do have a free tier. It allows you to see the headlines and see what content that we have, and maybe you'll decide to upgrade. But also, this week, we have a new video. We have a couple new things. Luke Curtis interview, Speedball Mike Bailey interview with Grapsody, and Friday, Jimmy Van and I break down Japanese Poppy figures, which are the first wrestling figures ever. We're talking Inoki, old Hogan stuff, all kinds of cool stuff there. And Jimmy, as he often does, of course, has a collection. Before we wrap up, Nate says, Hangman tries to stop Swerve winning, but screws up and Swerve wins. Hangman realizes he's okay with it. I don't hate that either.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. We'll see. Very cool stuff.
There's a lot of ways we can go with this.
Yeah,
a lot of ways we can go. Either way, I'm thinking 48 hours, another 48 hours, Rush Hour 1, 2, Beverly Hills Cops, all of them. I'm even thinking National Security at this point. Don't care. Want all the buddy cop movies here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm here for. Alex, tell the people what you got.
You can find me over all the social medias at Alex Sour Graps. Review Raw on Mondays. On Fridays, we review we watch the last hour of SmackDown. We're talking about the first 2 hours of SmackDown. And on Sunday, Kate will be at Dynasty. It'll be me and SP3 reviewing Dynasty. The last time we did one of those, was it Full Gear? I want to say was a big hit. Everyone seemed to love it, so we're doing that again.
Not to dox him, but SP3 means Sour Person 3. Like, he is he comes from a long, you do as well. I mean, you come from, you know, you're what, the third?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fourth.
I mean, four. Oh, you're the fourth. Yeah,
You are.
My gosh. Yeah. But I mean, he's got like a long history of sour persons.
Yes.
But guys, I greatly appreciate you guys. Again, leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave your responses in the comments as well. And check out all the great stuff we have on our Shorts tab on our YouTube video section as well. A lot of stuff to find there. Until next time, my friends. We're out.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.